Thankful for the blood. That it reaches even me. And that it will not run dry for whatever time is left and whatever generations come. That's our hope. Thank the Lord. We desire your prayers this morning. We humble ourselves before the Lord and acknowledge his mercy and his help to us. We've had a somewhat of a stressful week, spending a lot of hours working there at the apartment in Shawnee, and the Lord has blessed us to give us strength, and I thank him that he's also helped me not to fall, going up and down ladders and scaffolds and stairs, and so we just pray and ask the Lord to protect us, and he does, and so we give him all of the praise. But we have something that the Lord opened up to us as we were praying one morning, and we desire, I don't really think that he has ever given me a thought along this line to speak to the congregation here, so I trust that you will get something out of it and leave here today and use it in your life. I intend, by the help of the Lord, to use this in my life that he has spoken. And I believe it will help us in the time to come. Brother Dan's been preaching and telling us a number of times about our memories and our mind and things to remember and things to forget, and things of our mind is very, very important. And our whole society considers the mind as being important. So our thoughts have to do with, that will have to do with our mind. But the Lord brought to my mind, many years ago, when I wasn't saved, I had a close friend in my neighborhood, and she and I would go out to eat together and do different things together. Her children was the same age as mine, and so we had a little relationship. Well, this very dear person was a Catholic, and I wasn't saved, so I had nothing to offer her as far as a way to go that was right. And possibly she was looking to maybe convert me. I'm looking back, I'm thinking that. But she invited me to go to a yoga class at the Catholic Church, which I went. Well, I didn't really understand what yoga was, but I hope that you will understand a little bit more before we go too much farther. I'm going to give you what the actual dictionary definition is for yoga. Not yogurt, yoga. It's actually a system of the Hindu religion. It's a philosophy that involves physical and mental disciplines together with a withdrawal from the world. Now, I want you to keep some of these things in your mind. And it consists of abstract meditation upon some spiritual principle along with the system of exercises to achieve both physical and spiritual well-being. Now, I don't want to read that all again. I'm hoping you got a hold of what yoga is. And it is a popular thing in our world. I don't really keep track of how popular it is today, but it was introduced to me many years ago as in the Catholic Church. And so I'm going to give you some of the things that we would do in the class. And it was conducted by a Catholic nun. And so all of this, with my background of Church of God, I already had sort of a wall, if you will, or a resistance to some of this even before I went. But one thing that she would say to us was we were to, you know, we had relaxing techniques that we would go through, and most of these techniques were done with our eyes closed, and our mind was thinking of those things that she was telling us to think about. Well, this particular day that has stood out in my mind, and I really hadn't thought of it until the Lord brought it back to my mind, but we were to stand on one foot and balance ourselves, and we were to have our eyes closed, and our hands were to be in the shape of like this over our head, and we were to picture ourselves as a tree. And so in our thinking of ourselves as a tree and standing in that position, and then after we thought of ourselves as a tree, then we were to begin to think the thoughts that the speaker would plant in our minds. And it was called meditation. And so she would say, as we were standing there in this position and all, we were to think about how much we loved the Catholic Church and how much we loved the priest and the nuns. Well, I lost my concentration of thought right there. And I thought, as the Lord brought it back to my mind, who had this meditation before they did? Did you know that meditation in the world is very important? There's organizations that really believe in this. I can't even tell you the name of it. Meditation. And also positive thinking. And all of these kind of things people use for a purpose. And those that were of the Catholic Church that were there, my friend, oh, she got much good out of that. Her concentration wasn't interrupted like mine, but I could never go back because of my background. See, I couldn't allow those kind of thoughts to come into my mind and begin to feed another spirit. Even though I wasn't saved, I could not do that. So this morning, I want to address this thought of meditation. Is meditation for the people of God? It is. It is in the Word of God. And I don't think I've ever really stopped and thought of it. You and I may meditate, but we may not call it meditation. But the Lord has a meditation for you and me for the purpose of helping us. Just like they have a purpose to help people when they take the yoga class. You know what they're doing? They're wanting to bring a peace and a calmness to the nerves. We're in a nervous world. People are on edge. They're stressed out. And so they go to these classes to try to calm themselves. So I've got some scripture now. I believe the Lord is desiring for you and me to learn about meditation. And what it can do, what the plan of God is. It's not like the world, but it is something that's going to help us. And what I found was, well, let's give you some definitions of meditation just to get started. It's meditation, the synonym for meditation is deliberation. Deliberation is something that you think of deliberately. In other words, you will have to discipline yourself to have meditation. Just like they prepared us to come to a place of thinking the thoughts that were presented to us, and we had to form ourselves into a tree, we had to detach ourselves from our humanity. See, that's how the world does it. God is not going to put you in the form of a tree to begin your meditations of Him. Thank the Lord. But it also means to consider carefully, and not for just a moment, but for the length of time, for a length of time. Meditation is not meditation if it's just a passing thought. Meditation is to think deeply and usually silently. We don't usually voice our meditations. We don't speak them out. We don't share it so much with our companion even, because it is thoughts that are being formed in our mind to help me personally and you personally. Later, I may express my meditations in a testimony and share it with the congregation, and it will be such a blessing. It will feed someone. The spiritual meditations that God has for His people is going to produce something in me that will feed or go out and help someone else. Now, it also means to, it's carefully thought out. It means to weigh or judge with slowness and care. You see, we're not hasty. Now, we are living in a world where you have many thoughts in your mind every day, don't you? We are living in a world where we are so caught up with the cares of life that rarely are we able to truly meditate on the things of God. But He wants us to be trained. And I believe that the Lord is giving us something here this morning, that even in the midst of the busyness of your life, you can focus your mind and meditate right while you're building those cabinets, right while you're going to school, right while you're cleaning your house. Whatever you're doing, I believe the Lord is wanting us to give Him a portion of our mind that He can speak through and feed us and strengthen us. As I thought of this, these thoughts came to my mind. Meditation is necessary for my spiritual mind to be developed. I've got to have, it's not all just during prayer. Now, I want to tell you something. I do think that when we are praying, that the Lord can plant some thoughts. But most of the time, prayer is expressing our desires and needs and wants and our requests. That's what prayer is. But I want to tell you, the Lord brought this to my mind while I was praying, and He opened it up to me of the great need. It is vital for spiritual establishment. And so something is here that from this day forward, I hope to be a little bit better in my meditations or thinking of the things of God. It's important for that spiritual development and spiritual growth. It's just meditation. If the world sees a value in it, don't you think that we ought to see a value in quiet meditation? I believe that the Lord wants to open it up to us. It also means a consideration of all possibilities. When you're meditating, it is not always going to be on the same subject. It may be a time that you and I will begin to think about a comparison, just like Brother Dan's been talking about life lessons. That can be good meditation. Begin to compare this to spiritual things and learn from it. See? Well, I have some scriptures now. Because what I see that say the Hindus or yoga or the other meditation philosophies, their purpose is for peace, for a calmness, for a release of the stress and the pressures of life. And when I thought of that, I had to think of the peace of God. So I've got some scriptures that has to do with the peace of God. And if you want to turn with me, Philippians 4 and 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding." Now, you and I are needing peace in this frustrating world. We're in a frustrating world. We are not only frustrated by the pressures and stresses of life, but we are now, it is now a dimension of our thought processes has to do with the laws of our land that can be very distressing. It can almost take over our mind, and we'll find ourselves thinking of those things more than the things that we should think about. So this is the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And then it says it will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Thank the Lord. I'd like for you to adopt that scripture and take it home with you for this week and apply it, that it's through Christ. All of these other kinds of meditations are only for a moment. When those people come down from, and by the way, in yoga, they don't just stop suddenly. They start reintroducing reality to you for you to be able to go out and face reality. You don't just be a tree and have these thoughts and then not go back to being a human. That's how they work that. God doesn't have to do us that way. Isn't this wonderful? Because he has a peace, and he wants to keep our hearts and our minds. Listen, the scripture says that men's hearts are failing them in our time for fear. Fear of what's coming on the world. Sometimes imaginations. We can hear about all of the persecutions that are in the world where Christians are losing their heads and their lives, but they're losing their lives in horrible ways. I can't even imagine it. And maybe we shouldn't imagine it. As we read in the Sunday school this morning, there are people, you're not going to die unless the Lord says you're going to die. And we don't need to be sitting around imagining what could happen. This is part of our humanity. I might get my head cut off if I don't deny Christ. See? We can't jump ahead into a place and say, until we're in it, to have grace for it. Our imagination, the enemy only uses it as a tormenting thought. It does not help me spiritually. But the peace of God that he wants to give to me, it will keep my heart and my mind. Thank the Lord. Through Christ, see? The next scripture is John 14 and 27. And Jesus said this, "Peace I give, I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." Listen, don't look to the world for your peace, no matter where it is. You know as well as I that the world is seeking for a peace and a release from all that they are, the troubles of life, sometimes just through drugs. We all know this. We see it on every hand. People are turning to an artificial feeling to make them feel better, calmer in their spirit, and not have all of the problems of the mind. But what happens in that case is when it wears off, they're worse than they were before. And they have to go to something stronger eventually to compensate for the damage done by the drugs that's already been taken. Oh, I tell you, that's not how the Lord does it. He says, I have something for you that the world can't give. Don't ever turn to the world. Don't ever even turn to yoga. Don't ever turn to these meditation places. Listen, turn to Jesus Christ. Because he says, I'm going to give this to you. And then he ends with this same verse. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, thank the Lord. He has something for us far better than what the world can give. Then there's a scripture, Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, see how important our minds are? Meditation. Since for my mind to be stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And then verse 4 says, the beginning of it says, trust ye in the Lord. I want to tell you, God is the one you need to trust in. He will keep your mind, and he will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. The next scripture is Psalms 119 and 165. Great peace have they that love what? This is important. Thy law. Oh, I want to tell you, this is where you can have the true peace of God. I believe that in reality, this could be a beginning scripture other than the ones I've even read. Because we've got to develop a love for the Word of God and for His law and for His precepts and for His commandments. We've got to see them as pure and righteous and holy, and that they will only work for my good. Thank the Lord. When I view the Word of God with great value, and I see that it's where I get my help, it's where I get my spiritual food, I can meditate on it. It will work in my life. Thank the Lord. I want to tell you that great peace have they that love the law of God. Oh, appreciate the Word of God. Don't kick against the pricks. Don't kick against the doctrines of the Word of God. Many people will say, I don't see it that way. I want to tell you, you don't want to see it that way if you don't see it that way. You have to want to see the truth of God's Word. And when you want to, and when you seek for it, and you ask for it, that his promise is he'll open it to you. He'll reveal it to you. You don't have to walk in darkness. There is a scripture that speaks about who will go and get it for us and bring it back to us. Who will go across the sea? Who will go up into the heavens and bring it down? He said this, that passage said, it's right there, nigh even in your mouth. So any one of us that has a desire to know the truth and to know that the truth can set us free, We can have it. And so he says, you want peace? You love my law. And then he goes on and he says, and nothing shall offend them. You know, when I have read that, I've always thought, well, people that are offended, they just didn't love the law of God. No, people, it's not what that means. When I looked this up, it says, nothing shall make them stumble. If you love the law of God, nothing will make you stumble. And that is the peace that he's talking about. Thank the Lord. Well, in 167 of that same chapter, it says, my soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Do you love the Lord this morning? Do you love the Word of God? Do you count it of great value that we are so freely given the Word this morning? We can pick it up and read it anytime we want to without fear of paying with our life. There was a time people paid with their life to even have a page of the Bible. But you and I are so free, we don't even think about it. We have many Bibles in our houses. You can buy a Bible for little of nothing. You can go to estate sales and garage sales and find Bibles for very little. So they're all, the Word is saturated. And you know that scripture that says, John, the first chapter, it says, light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's where we are. Light is all around for you and me and the whole world. And those that are rejecting it don't even comprehend it. Thank the Lord that we can comprehend by the Spirit of God what it means. Do you love the law and the testimonies exceedingly? You might say, well, I haven't really ever measured how much I love it. It might pay you and me to meditate and develop a greater love for the Word of God and have a greater value for it. Okay, I'm going to read now several verses in 119, Psalms 97 through 99 and 103 and 105. Verse 97 says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my what? My meditation all the day. Well, we may not be able to just sit down and have everything quiet and meditate, but I want to tell you, I believe the Lord is wanting us to learn how to take these things and go to our jobs and go to the busyness of life, and still the Word of God or the thoughts of God or the meditations are just not that far away. They're able to intervene in our minds at whatever we're doing. I believe that he wants us to learn that. And it said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Even through thy commandments hast made me wiser. You want to be wise this morning? What does the scripture say about wisdom? If ye lack wisdom, how many of us has enough wisdom to last the rest of our life or even the rest of this day? We don't have it. But when we acknowledge it, he says, I'll give it to you. And I'll do it liberally, and I won't even upbraid you for not having it. He understands our humanity. He understands how we need the meditations to help us. And so, verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my what? Meditations. You want to grow in the things of God. You want to grow in understanding. You want to grow in wisdom. You must seek for it. But you must meditate about it. Allow the Spirit to feed you and minister to you and speak to you. I believe He can speak to us. Verse 103 then, it says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste." Have you tasted? Have you seen that the Lord is good? That can be part of your meditation. It should be part of our meditation or part of our prayers anyway. And our thanksgiving. Oh, Father, we thank you for all that you've done for me. Begin to even meditate of all that he's done. That's a strength. His words are sweeter unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And then verse 105. This is a wonderful verse. These are verses that we need to hide in our hearts. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thank the Lord. Then I have Psalms 77, 11 and 12. And it says, I will remember. Now this one sort of got my attention a little bit. I think it will all of us, because we all love sleep at night. And God created our bodies to need rest and refreshment and sleep. He gives the whole world sleep for a period of time every day. And he understands that you and I cannot be awake 24 hours a day. But there are times that we can't sleep, isn't there? Sometimes we just have restless, sleepless nights. And if you're like me, it's sort of preys on your mind that you're not asleep. And you're probably praying, Lord, help me to go to sleep. I'm going to look at it a little differently now. On those sleepless nights, this is what it says. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. And I've jumped ahead of myself, because there is another scripture we're going to come to. But nonetheless, to remember the works of the Lord. Don't let it slip. When you're down praying, you know the scripture always says for us to make our requests known unto God with thanksgiving. We need to begin our prayers remembering the works of God, looking back over our life at all of the things that he's done. I'm telling you, it's more than you can recount in one prayer. But it pays us to remember the works of God. And then it says, I'm going to talk of all of his doings. What's that? Isn't that coming to prayer meeting? And telling what the Lord has done. Oh, isn't that wonderful to tell what the Lord has done? Okay, let's go to that other scripture. Psalms 119. And it's verse 148. And this one is about the night. I just sort of got ahead of myself there. 148. This says, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Now, I looked this up in a little different way of saying it. And it says it this way, I lie awake all through the night to meditate on thy word. So when we are awake and we cannot go to sleep, let us learn how to use that time to meditate, to think about the good things of God, the Word of God. Let's think about those things that can feed me and strengthen me spiritually. Thank the Lord. There is a scripture that we're all very familiar with, and it says, seek those things above. And I think that we could change it just a little bit and say, meditate on the things above. Meditate, think about, consider eternal things. We are just pilgrims. We're just passing through here. We have a citizenship of another country. We're not going to live here forever. We can be taken up with the cares of life here, but let us never forget the eternal things. Yes. Let it never be far from our minds. I would like for you to turn with me now for just a few minutes over in Timothy, 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and I want to look at verse 15 first. And it says in that particular verse, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Well, what is the writer here referring to? So we're going to give that. This is going to open up to you and me some things that if we need some discipline or structure in learning how to meditate, here's where it is. And it starts with verse 12. Verse 12 says, let no man despise thy youth. Well, some of us here are past our youth, but there's some of you here that are still in your youth. So why would the writer here, of course, is being addressed to Timothy, and he was younger than Paul. So he's giving him instructions. But I believe it's good instructions for all of us this morning. But to the youth, to this, how it could be said is, think little of you. When it says, let not men despise thy youth, let not men think little of you because you are young. You can be a real saint even though you're young. You don't have to wait till you're 30 or 40. Oftentimes, people make the big mistake and they wait till they're older and a lot of time is wasted. But I appreciate the young people that are here. Yes, amen. I appreciate you. I want you to know that. And what this is saying now, why did it say, for let no man think little of you because you are young? It's because you can be an example of the believers. You don't have to wait till you're 25 or 30. You can be an example of the believers right now. Now remember, verse 15 said we are to meditate on all of these things and give ourselves wholly to them. So the next thing is, be thou an example of the believers, and then it has a whole list in word. Be an example in word, in your conversation, in what words that you speak. Be an example. Did you know many people don't think before they speak? Have you ever done that? You speak before you think. And if we would just stop and think, we might not would say those words. And so this is not just for the young now. This is for us all to meditate, keeping our mind on the things that are holy, keeping our mind on the things that are above. Thank the Lord. now we can be an example in our words. Oh, I want to tell you, words. Did you know words can be poison? The scripture calls it the tongue, and we all have a tongue. And it says that it has power to kill, and it has power to make alive. Don't you want to have a tongue that is powerful in giving life to others rather than death? Oh, how can we give death? Oh, we can have sharp words, hurting words, cutting words. That's the kind of words it's talking about. But you and I, if we'll meditate on these things and give ourselves wholly to them, we can be an example in our words. And then it says, in our conversation, you'd say, well, wasn't that words? Well, conversation here means conduct. How you act. How you demonstrate your temperament. Do you have a temperament? We all do. We're all human. We have personality traits. We're influenced by everything around us. Can we get mad? Can we get angry? Yes. We can. But oh, meditate. Think on these things. Give yourselves wholly to them, that you not allow your heart to be passionate where it doesn't need to be passionate, where it's not an example of the believers. Thank the Lord, we can have a conduct that is pleasing unto the Lord. Be an example in charity, in love. Oh, I want to tell you, I remember when our daughter was killed, and I went to the funeral in an ambulance, not an ambulance, a taxi. But I was in a wheelchair, and it was a van, and they put me up in there. My sister, that had been raised this way, she rode with me and maybe a couple of more of the saints. I want to tell you, the saints were wonderful to us throughout that whole experience. We had people coming up and right from the congregation that stayed with me during the night just so I wouldn't be alone in that hospital room. But I want to tell you, the saints are good people. Yes. And so, anyway, we went to the funeral and came back to the hospital. And my sister said, she spoke about the love that she saw in the saints. And she was raised this way. I want to tell you, it's important that we be an example in our love for one another, but for others too. And the only way is for you to seek after it, to let it feed your mind and then produce the actions. Be an example in your spirit. Have a right spirit. Be controlled by a right spirit. By the Spirit of God. Did you know you have a spirit? Didn't Jesus say one time when the disciples wanted to call down fire from heaven on a certain situation? And what did he say? You don't know what spirit you're of. In order for you and me not to have our own spirit, we're going to have to meditate on these things and give ourselves wholly to them. The next one is faith. Be an example of the believers in faith. Oh, you might say, well, my faith is small. I want to tell you, there's a place for small faith. There's a place for even weak faith. But he doesn't want it to stay there. He doesn't want your faith to stay in a weak condition. He wants to build your faith. and strengthen your faith. And the way that he does it, he begins to put things in our life that requires faith. And he teaches us faith. He proves himself, young people, you know I've said it to you over and over, that I want the Lord to prove himself to your generation. He's proved himself to generations before. But it's through some hard places you may be called. You may have to experience some afflictions. You may have to experience some suffering. And yet to believe God. Remember the song last Sunday, I believe it was. It was sung in the morning service. And then another one said, that's the song I woke up with. And then Sunday night, Brother Dan leads it again. He's the God of the mountain. He's the God of the valleys. He's the God of the good times. He's the God of the bad times. That's life. But he is still God. Amen. Thank the Lord. That builds our faith. We must be an example of the believers in faith. Even if it's a small faith, let it grow. Let it develop. Thank the Lord. And then purity. Oh, we're living in an impure world. We're living in an unclean world. It's all around us. The very air is peopled with it. The very radio, the television that you and I are not watching, we cannot even imagine all of the filth. We are saved from that stuff. All you have to do is just be in a store in a waiting room, and you'll get your eyes opened, even to the advertisements. There is nothing about an impure world that an example of the believers should even touch. Oh, remember it. We must be an example of the believers in purity. God does not work with impurity. He works with pure hearts, pure thoughts, pure lives. And then it says, verse 13, give attendance. And what that means is to devote your attention. So we got to meditate on this too. To reading. Don't neglect reading the Word of God. Get it in your hearts that it can even you can meditate on it when you're changing those tires. Whatever you're doing, see, it's in your heart. It's what you may have read that morning. It's going to feed you throughout the day. Devote your attention to reading. Devote your attention to exhortation. You know what that is? Preaching. You know, sometimes we can come to church and we can be so tired. Maybe we didn't get a full quota of sleep the night before. Maybe we've been working so hard and we sit down, and it's very easy to get sleepy when we sit down. I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just saying that's humanity. But give your attention to the Word of God when it is being spoken. Retain it in your heart. You know what I believe? I really believe that even if we do get sleepy, I believe because it is being spoken in our hearing that there's something subconsciously retaining it. I believe that. But I also believe that there is a devil, yes, that wants to snatch it away, that wants to take it from you. So devote your attention to the preaching. Devote your attention to the doctrine, to the teachings. Believe the teachings. Don't kick against them. And then it says, neglect not the gift. Now this, I know what this is talking about, but every one of us have a gift this morning. And it doesn't have to be a gift of preaching or teaching or song leading or whatever. You have the gift of salvation. Everyone that is a child of God has the gift of salvation. We can't neglect salvation. So don't neglect the gift that is in thee. And then verse 15, meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them. And the scripture says, the profiting, everyone will see it. Everyone will see how profitable this is in your life. In closing, I have some suggestions that I feel that the Lord has given to us. So, meditate, meditation. Consider carefully. Think deeply. Weigh and judge with special care. Life and death. Even though we're alive and well today, and it doesn't look like any of us are terminally ill, we need to think about life and death. You need to meditate about death. It's coming to all of us. Doesn't matter our age. It's often been said you can go to the cemetery and you'll see every length of grave in the cemetery. You'll see every age on the stones at the cemetery. So it doesn't mean that you have to get old to die, but you need to think about death. Think about life. Think about death. What are you doing with your life? It's going to meet you in death. That's what we need to think about. Think about eternity. Eternity is so unreal because we only know time. But eternity is without end. And we can't hardly comprehend it. It will pay you and me to meditate on what eternity is. That it's long. Oh, you can't even say it's long. Because long would have an end somewhere. But this has no end. So it will pay us to meditate. Meditate on your soul. That there is a part of you that is never going to die. Meditate on that. Meditate on heaven. Don't you like to meditate on heaven? Because we don't know what it looks like, but we have some ideas. It's good for us to meditate, not imagine altogether, not allow our imaginations to run wild. But I want to tell you, the scripture says that eye hath not seen nor ear heard what he hath prepared for those that love him. So there's something out there for the godly that is wonderful. And we can't fully imagine it, but we can meditate on it, what the scripture says about it. Meditate on hell. You think that's a bad subject to meditate on? I don't think so. I think it's real. The scripture tells us more about hell almost than heaven. We've got some very descriptive places that tells us about hell. And what happens to the people that get there? Meditate on that. Meditate on this thing of gnashing of teeth. And where the worm dieth not. And the fire is not quenched. Meditate on that. Oh, you might say, well, I don't want to serve the Lord because I'm afraid of hell. I'm going to tell you that's a pretty good reason. I would rather serve the Lord and be afraid to go to hell, if that's what it took to get me to heaven. So meditate on the things of hell. Meditate on the things of judgment. Of what the Bible says about the judgment. Because Jesus gives us several examples of the judgment. And he compared it to the sheep and the goats. And he said, I'm putting one on the right hand and one on the left hand. And the ones on the right hand, this is what you meditate on. The ones on the right hand, I say, enter thou into the presence of the Lord. You're my sheep. But on those that are at the left hand, the judgments of fire and rejection will be their judgment. Think about those things. And think about the greatness of God. Now we're going to end with a positive note, although I don't count those negative. The greatness of God. Meditate on the power of God, where it's demonstrated in the Word, where you hear it in testimonies, where you've witnessed it yourself. Meditate on those things. Meditate on the keeping grace of God. Look back at the times that He has kept you and don't forget it. Meditate on faith. And meditate on the past answers to prayer. I love that song that says, He'll do it again. He'll do it again. I may not know how, I may not know when, but He'll do it again. And that always strengthens my confidence and faith. It will pay you to adopt that song as your motto, as the song that will come to your mind when it looks like He won't do it again, but to believe that He will. May the Lord help us this morning. Amen.